Now, a bit of change of pace, being the fourth Wednesday of the month, we've got with us Cindy McLeish, our local Member of Parliament. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Alan. I'm not sure what change of pace means.
we had cereal.
Am I going to be upbeat or downbeat?
I will say upbeat. Cindy, I guess, and this is going to be your last broadcast for this year, because by December we'll probably all be packed it in for the year. But so we'll say our Christmas as we get along. But I guess,
wow,
as a local MP, and I think I'm right here, you've agreed to come back next year, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I have.
Which is terrific, which is going to be fantastic. But, Cindy, I guess this time of the year, as a local MP, everything's probably happening.
Oh, look, everything is happening, and I've still got to do my regular little advocacy. You know, yesterday I was in Parliament House because the Eildon Primary School were going down to visit Parliament, and this happens a lot. You know, some of them go to Canberra, some kids come on urban camp, some kids just come down for the day on an excursion or whatever. Yeah. And I was talking to the kids about, you know, I have two jobs, one of it's being in Parliament, debating the serious stuff and raising issues, but the other is out on the ground talking to people, listening to people. And I said, now, tell me, you know, like, what sorts of things do your parents talk about that they're worried about?
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, and a few hands went up, and the little girl goes, roads.
Yeah, the
and
potholes.
I said, oh, there you go. And I said, how many parents complain about potholes? And nearly every kid's hand went up. And the teachers and the parents that were with them were all laughing. But, you know, and I was saying to the kids that I need to be out and about talking to people. And if you're talking to somebody in the street or the shop owner or just people at different clubs and organisations, you don't just find out about what's going on for them, but you also find out about what's going on in the community. And sometimes, you know, things need fixing and other times things are going along okay.
And I guess at the end of the day, that's your job to represent those people, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is. And so I said to the kids about how I represent them in Parliament if there's problems with, you know, intersections or potholes. And a good example is where we are now. You know, I've just had somebody contact me and it's probably been an ongoing problem with the intersection just near the RACV. You know, we've got the Chum Creek Road and we've got the Yarra Glen Road. And it's a little bit tricky. The grass gets a little bit long. But, you know, maybe it's time for a roundabout there. I don't know that we want traffic lights. But, you know, people sort of want something done about it. It's near the BP in Healesville or near the Badger Creek Road opposite the park.
And for the local people, that's often more important than some major issue too, isn't it? To them, it is a major issue.
Oh, look, absolutely. And I remember a few years back, they put a roundabout, two roundabouts in Mansfield, in fact, one heading to the end of the main street that heads to Mount Buller, and it was not a roundabout, and traffic was all over the place, and it was, you know, everyone was always avoiding accidents. And they put a roundabout in, and the council paid half, and the government, Vic Roads, paid half, and it was fabulous. It worked so well. And then the guy from Vic Roads goes, oh, you know, it's amazing. We got such good feedback on that and we didn't have to pay $5 million. And it's like, no, because you did what people want. You did a common sense thing.
And that's often, as I said before, that's often what the people, the local people want, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. They, you know, and people that are going in particular areas all the time, they know what know what's needed. They know what's working well, or they'll see something somewhere else and say, you know what? What the council have done there would be really good if they did the same here.
Yep.
And I see that, you know, in Hurstbridge there was a fatality with a pedestrian a number of years ago, and the council did some really great treatment options of the road there.
Yep.
And everyone's saying, yeah, we need that on this other bit of road, which is a government road, but can't they just do exactly that before it's too late? And, you know, you've got to get this balance to get things done before it's a problem.
Because too often they do respond to a fatality or something like that, but as you say, it's too late for that person.
It's too late for that person, especially when people say, you know, we've raised this and raised this and raised this, and I don't think that's good enough. And so, you know, it's great when you get results and things do get done, and, you know, the government's broke, but they do have some money to spend, and, you know, we need it spent on, you know, some of these black spot things, for example.
Rather than some of the pie in the sky stuff.
Yeah. Your description.
Well, anyway, coming up to Christmas, people are producing hampers or people want to give a hamper away. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I do hampers. And I I do lots of hampers that people come and ask. And, you know, I try really hard. Well, I do. It's all local produce. And you try and not have anything that's from one out of the area, but two that's, you know, more commercially done. So, you know, I'll have local jams. I think the Jam Lady Jam gets a bit of a run in from Healesville. There's somebody who does fudge. I've just been at Marysville this morning, and while I was there, the Marysville Lolly Shop do particular packages of old-style lollies.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, yeah. And it's really quite a cool shop. You know, we've got lots of different sorts of lollies that we grew up with. I don't know where they buy them. Someone still must make them.
Well, they must somehow.
Yeah, and look, there's local coffee and there's a whole lot of different things that you can buy locally to put in hampers, and I really always want to make sure that I support local businesses.
And I think it's a terrific idea because, let's be honest, from what we read, local businesses everywhere are doing it tough, aren't they? They are doing it tough.
Yeah, and look, I was talking to a local business not in this area because I'm the Shadow Minister for Small Business. Yeah. And it was a pizza shop guy and it was in Greenvale, so the northern suburbs, outer northern suburbs. And I said, oh, look, what's your biggest pain? What's the cost? And I thought he'd say, you know, the cost of running the pizza ovens, prices of energy is expensive. And he said, cheese.
True.
I said, cheese. And he said, cheese. I said, really? And he said, but I can't pass that on because I can't make my pizzas too expensive or people won't buy them.
Yeah.
And people are already under financial stress.
Yep.
So what he ends up having, his mum and dad were working there. I don't know how much they were paid.
Probably like all mum and dads, very little.
Yeah, but, you know, that's what he resorted to.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about different costs that are going up and everyone's got a different point of pain, and his was cheese.
True. And one thing.
Who has a pizza without cheese?
One thing we've got to convince people, and I won't get in the track, is that everybody seems to think the local little business is making $1 million a year, but some of them are working 80 to 90 hours a week, probably not taking home as much as if they went and got a job for a 40-hour week.
Exactly. And when the going gets tough, you know, they'll close the doors a little bit, they'll put off staff, they'll get their kids to do more work or get their parents to come and do more work or not take a salary themselves, you know, like they'll manage just to cover the costs. And they're not making squillions. You know, you do get some businesses that do better than others, but even places that are really packed, you know, like with COVID, it changed. Some places had to reduce the density, you know, like have it more open.
Yep.
And, you know, they found out actually some people that worked because they didn't need as many staff. So you lose local jobs in the process, but, you know, people are trying to keep, you know, a roof over their heads.
Oh, I agree. All right, we'll just a quick break and we'll be back with Cindy.
Yarra Valley, FM 99.1. Joy and happiness.
joy and happiness. Now, Cindy, we were talking about your hampers you put out, but you also have some gingerbread houses, don't you?
I do. I don't make them.
Don't you?
No, I don't. I buy them from the bakery in Healesville and Yarra Glen. But at Christmas time...
Again, local.
Yep. I'm not going to... they're all produced sometimes, you know, just not quite... Like bakeries might have somebody who owns two or three, but they're all, you know, pretty local. And every year at Christmas time, you know, schools are always looking for something a little bit different and to have raffles and prizes and things. So every year, all the schools, the primary schools, I donate gingerbread houses to.
Oh, do you?
I've been doing it for years and years and years.
Yep.
And so they all know it's coming. So they all, when we race around frantically and when you've got, you know, 25 gingerbread houses in the office. Yeah. I've got a couple in the back of my car now, actually. I hope it's not too hot out there and that they don't melt. I've got to deliver a couple. But, you know, it's a pretty frenetic time where we're racing around because they've got to be produced and they're not all produced at once. So we're kind of picking them up and delivering and picking them up and delivering them. So they're on their way. But it's just something that, you know, I like to do, and gingerbread houses are a bit of fun, and, you know, they've got all the lollies stuck on the outside and the schools can do with it what, you know, they want. Some of them raffle it, some of them use it as a prize, different things at different times, so...
And that's good, isn't it? Because, I mean, some of them want to make the odd dollar out of them, no doubt.
Like if they make $250 out of a raffle, they make, you know, it's an extra $250 that they didn't have, and, you know, I'm really happy to do that. So, you know, we're constantly asked in the office about, you know, supporting events and things like that. So, you know, we can't give money. We might support an art show or something like that through different sponsorship, but we can't give anyone cash.
Well, I mean, there's too many organisations all want their hand out either too, isn't there?
So, you know, we'll do what we can, and for me that's doing the hampers, and sometimes we can customise them.
Well, and again, if you're going to spend the money, you can't do better than spend it locally, can you?
No, look, that's right. And, you know, as I said, I've just come from Marysville. And you know, while I was in Marysville, you know, I popped into a cafe, I had coffee with somebody there, so to do the local thing. But I went to the school and the kindergarten to catch up with what's happening there. So this is all the sort of stuff that you do when you're not in Parliament. I think tonight I've got the Millgrove Residents Action Group meeting over at Millgrove, strangely enough.
Wonder why.
You know, so when you're not in Parliament, this is the sort of stuff that you're doing because you're out and about hearing what the needs of communities are and, you know, helping meet those needs as best you can.
No worries, Cindy. We'll take a quick break and be back with more.
I'll meet you there. Valley FM 99.1.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Cindy McLeish. Cindy, you've just been to a CFA dinner somewhere.
I have. It's a season for CFA dinners.
Yep.
And on Saturday night, I was at the Healesville CFA dinner and awards night, and they're always a lot of fun. And I was with my federal colleague, Aaron Violi, and Aaron had just come from Coldstream CFA's dinner. He was doing two in the one night.
Yeah, yep.
But Coldstream's dinner was supposed to be at Eastern Golf Club.
Yeah.
But because that burnt down,
they had
to make alternative arrangements, and I think that they had it at the station, and he said that they did a really good job, turning it around.
And I think you and I have talked about the CFA on a number of occasions, but we've got to remember that some of these people have been there 30 years, haven't they?
Oh, look, absolutely, and I will talk about some of the guys at the Healesville CFA because, you go along and you hear stories about people and what they've done, and you go along often enough, you get to know people quite well.
Yep.
One of the things that they do at Healesville that I quite like is they have awards for the number of turnouts. So it's all well and good to be a member, and, three of us here could be members, and you turn up all the time and I'm just a member. Don't put in as much for different reasons. Some of it, depends where I work.
Yep.
And it might be if I work down in Ringwood, it's not always possible for me to get to various things.
But I guess some employers are a bit hesitant more than others, wouldn't they? Or is that not right?
Look, I think in the country areas particularly, people understand, if there's fires and things like that. And traditionally, that a lot of the landowners or farm workers and that were all parts of the CFA, and you have that little bit more of a flexibility. I mean, if you're in the middle of shearing, it's a bit hard. or making hay or whatever. But they have the awards for the number of turnouts, and not just, they do a cumulative thing, and I think they've only done that since 1998 or something. So it hasn't got people that have been there the number of turnouts, but they do, for the year as well. And then they mark, people that have got 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, 50 years, their life membership and things like that.
Yeah.
So, it's really good. And what happened at Healesville this time was Graham Bates, who, local builder in Healesville, who has been the captain for 20-odd years.
True, yeah.
Yep. He's retired as captain. He's still a member of the brigade. And Brian Earle's taken over and had to get used to doing all the emceeing and everything. But they put Graham Bates's name on the side of the truck.
Terrific.
Yeah, and this happens at a lot of the stations. You can see the life members of people who've put in years and years. They'll have their name on the side of the truck, and I think that's a lovely recognition.
True. And of course, and I know, I've mentioned this before, because a lot of these volunteers are out half the night or half of their holidays, and they're still got to get up and go to work the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's terrific. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
I'm counting on you. Ever since we met, darling, I've been keeping score. Every day I count your charms, every day I love you more. It's plain to see why you're the lover that I waited for. I'm counting the different ways you melt me. Kisses and caresses, and 'cause I thrill as I do, for I'm counting on you. Ooh, I'm I built around you, because your love is mine. I'm counting on happiness forever.
I have with me Cindy McLeish, and she's our local MP. And apart from that, she's also Shadow Minister for about three different portfolios. Cindy, races. You've got the Hillsville Racing coming up.
Have got the Hillsville races coming up, and looking forward to it on Saturday. I've got a number of people coming, and, well, my daughter also. She's got, you know, 35 of her closest friends.
Tell me, how do you go? Do you back a winner?
No, I don't. I'm hopeless.
I don't back them at all.
I can tell you the last time I backed a Melbourne Cup winner. No, but if I come out even, I've had a good day.
Well, that's fair enough.
But, you know, we've got a great little track down here at Hillsville, but in my area I've got five picnic racing tracks, and I've got the Yarra
five
Valley.
Of them.
Five. You have Mansfield, Merton, and they all have, and Yay and Alexandra, they all have different number of events, but it still takes a lot of effort to get an event up. So Merton...
And by all volunteers.
All by volunteers. Yeah. Merton have one event a year, New Year's Day. Mansfield have Melbourne Cup Day, which is a cracker of an event, and they have their own Cup Day, I think, in January. So Yay have a few, Alex have a few, Hillsville get a little bit more than a few. So Hillsville, you know, they get a lot of people because they're really close to the city. They organise buses, there's loads of marquees up, and yeah, they have a really good kind of a party time, and they've got great shade there.
It's a festival, isn't it?
It is,
yep.
Very much. And so you can get your own little roped off section, and you can hire chairs and tables. And
well, with your daughter, you're going to need a whole big pair.
Oh, she won't be near me.
What, doesn't want to talk to mum?
She said initially, oh, I was going to have people to come to Yay races for my, you know, for my birthday thing, which was, you know, over a month ago. Yeah. And then she said, oh, no, we're going to go to Hillsville. And I'm like, oh, I'm having, you know, a bit of a Christmas drinks at Hillsville. And so I hope we're in separate sections. I hope I'm not next.
What, she frightened you're going to embarrass her? Well, mums do that.
All mums do that, yeah. She's just worried about how much rain is going to be. And if it's But, look, the Yay event was abandoned on the weekend, and it was abandoned at like 8 o'clock in the morning when the stewards walked the track.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Very harsh, because it was in perfect condition on Friday afternoon, and it was hot. It was like 30 degrees. I couldn't believe how warm it was. Saturday morning. And the volunteers had gone out. They'd put the rails up. You've got to have the rails. You've got to have all the safety stuff in place. You've got to have, you know, your marquees and umbrellas and things, roped off sections. All of that takes hours. You know,
and
like
you've got to all have weights and all that too, don't they?
You've got to have everything to make it safe. And they know what they have to do. Yep. And it takes quite a lot of people. Then you have all the catering on top of it. You've got the school groups that might run the barbecue, or, you know, they have different groups that... You know, maybe the primary school at Yay will run it, or maybe the footy club will run it, or maybe the Catholic school will run it. You know, they're different parents' committees. Yep. And they get involved. All the volunteer groups get involved. So when you've got to ring up and cancel everything, and they were so flat.
And a lot of the sausages and all that would have been bought too, wouldn't they?
Yeah. All the stuff's ready to, you know, go on the barbecue pretty well. And it happened to Alexandra on Cox Plate Day. And, you know, like, was there a sprinkler on? What was the reason? There was a little bit of water on the track in one spot, and so, you know, the whole lot gets called off, and very disappointing. So I contacted the racing minister and said, listen, you know, I want you to come and talk to the volunteers, to the committee members, the presidents, to talk to them and hear things about what works well for them and what doesn't work well, so that maybe we can make things, you know, smoother for them. So, yeah, it was all very flat on the weekend.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
But, however, Hillsville, it's this weekend, is it?
Hillsville, this weekend. Do you know, when you get all sorts of weather at Mansfield on Cup Day, it was cold, and then it was sunny, and then it rained heavily for a little bit, and then it was boiling.
Just talking about Mansfield, which amazed me. I've got a friend that lives there, and she was saying that she posted on Facebook yesterday afternoon, they had hail yesterday afternoon.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, I mean, everywhere else where I was still quite warm, but they actually had, and quite heavy hail.
Gee.
Yes,
no, I didn't hear that at all. In fact, I heard you do the weather report earlier and you said, oh, the sun must have come out. I didn't think it was when I came in.
All right, we'll take another quick break. Now, Cindy, we're coming towards the end of the year and the schools are starting to not finish up, but some of them are having their formals and graduations, aren't they?
They are. The school graduations are happening at this time of year, and it's interesting, you know, different schools do it in different ways, and one of the things that they all seem to do these days is the Year 11s quickly... Yeah, after they've got their exams, there's no slacking off or hanging around. If you're coming back for Year 12, you're starting in December.
They do, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, they get into it real quick.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody yesterday who said he thought it was so their, you know, kids did homework in December. And he said, you know, one of my sons is just going into Year 12 and he'd been given, you know, a certain amount of work and homework to get them going, and you'll have this done over January, so they don't get out of the habit. So that's happening for the Year 11 kids, no rest. But the Year 12 kids, well, depending what they're doing.
Yep. Most of them are out on jobs or something at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, there's plenty of part-time work out there if people want to do it. Some kids have got jobs lined up. Some kids have got apprentices lined up. Some kids are waiting for university or TAFE courses to see what they might do.
And we need to mention the ATAR score, don't we?
Oh, look, we do. And I was at Upper Yarra's graduation, Year 12 one, the other night at Karalaika in Ringwood, the first time I've been there. And one of the teachers, the Year 12 coordinator, you know, she had some really great messages, and you know, a couple of people who spoke did as well, because it's, you know, you find your own way in life, because you might not get the score you want. Yep. You might get the score you want. You might get into a course you want and find out, actually, that's not the course I want.
Many do that.
Many do that, and that's okay.
Yep.
You know, you might make a wrong turn here and there, and that's okay.
Yep. And the other thing is, too, that if the ATAR task score won't get you into what you want, you can come back in a couple of years as a mature age student, don't you? And the ATAR doesn't matter anywhere near as much then.
Oh, absolutely. And there's other ways you can do it. If I didn't get into my first choice and I still want to do that, is there another way that I can do a different course that might get some credits and then apply again in the second year, or apply again to the first year and get a few, you know, a bit an easier workload? So there's lots of ways.
And you can go via TAFE sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different options for kids going into the workforce. And if where you hope doesn't turn out straight away, well, everyone finds their niche. Everyone will find, most people find what they want to do and how they, you know, they get there through all different means. And when I was in school, like, my job now isn't anything that I planned about.
Well, you were a teacher to start with, weren't you?
I taught secondary maths and science. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't know what really I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to be a psychologist. And I eventually did become one, and thought, you know, it's a little bit slow for me.
Not what you want.
Yeah, but the skills have been really good. They've been really useful skills to have. But, you know, I didn't end up doing that.
And they're saying that with the young people now, some of them, like I know in my era, people changed it's not that far back. They changed maybe from employer to employer, but they're saying now that some of the young people will not only change employers, but they'll have complete career changes 3-4 times in their life.
That's right. You know, you don't stay with the one company and earn the gold watch after 50 years these days. You know, that's less and less likely. People at all levels of the workforce move around between employers for different reasons, and we're fairly flexible in that people can go between country and city or interstate. And people often do move. It's not uncommon to meet somebody who grew up here and has lived somewhere else and have come back here, or
Worked overseas.
There's so many different options. And a lot of companies, in fact, I did work when I was consulting before being a Member of Parliament, with one of the big hotel chains. And it was like, if you were a cleaner or did the rooms, or if you were in the restaurant or front of house, it didn't matter, that they were trying to make it easy for you to, if you wanted to go and work in Singapore for a couple of years, you should be able to, you know, work, stay with that company and get different experience, progress your career, or stay in a similar role and come back. And I thought that was really good, because they wanted to be an employer of choice. They wanted people to say, I want to work for you.
And the other thing is too, as we just said before though, some of them will change careers altogether.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's not a problem at all.
No, I know somebody who was doing graphic design and did a welding course at TAFE at the same time and ended up being a plumber. A friend of mine's son, you know.
Wow.
All good. But one of the messages that the level coordinator, Katie, had to say was, you know, you're going out into the big wide world and it can be scary.
Yep.
And that's normal. And there'll be times where you feel a bit lost or overwhelmed, and that's normal. Yep. Or, you know, you'd be a little bit anxious in this situation. That's normal too. You know, just all of these thoughts and feelings that you have, you know, you've got a security blanket around you at school. You know, you're getting off to school. Yep. Someone gets you off to school. You get there and the teachers are there looking after you, trying to guide you as best that they can. You go home and, you know, in the main that there's someone there getting you dinner at the evening. And, you know, and you've kind of got this blanket around you that keeps you secure, and you know what every day is going to be.
Well, when you get out in the marketplace.
When you're out in the marketplace, you walk into a workplace for the first time, or you work into university and you don't know anyone there. You've got to...
And you also, all of a sudden, working with people who have worked in that job for 20, 30 years, as opposed to you coming in the door, and sometimes it's a bit of resentment too, and that'll happen, whether you like it or not. Cindy, we'll take one more quick break and then we'll be back with more.
Okay.
night. Ooh, what a night it was, it really was.
Such a night.
The moon was bright. Oh, how bright it was, it really was.
Such a night.
The night was alive with stars above. Ooh, when she kissed me, I had to fall in love.
It was a kiss.
Ooh, what a kiss it was, it really was.
Such a kiss.
Oh, how she could kiss. Oh, what a kiss it was, it really was.
Such a kiss.
Just the thought of her lips sets me afire. I reminisce and I'm filled with desire.
Such a night.
Came the dawn, and my heart in love, and the night was gone. But I'll never forget the kiss in the moonlight. Ooh, such a kiss,
such a night.
It was a night.
Ooh, what a night it was, it really was.
Such a night. Came the dawn, and my heart in love, and the night was gone. When we kissed, I had to fall in love. But I gave my heart to her, she beats forever. How will I remember? I'll always remember.
Oh, that night.
Ooh, what a night it was, it really was.
Such a night.
When we kissed, I had to fall in love. While she's gone, 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 yeah, she's gone, gone, gone. Came the dawn, 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 and my love was gone. But before that dawn, yes, before that dawn, and before that dawn, ooh, 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 yeah.
Now, Cindy, you wanted to talk about Lyrebird College.
Yes, I'm not sure how much listeners know about Lyrebird College, but a number of years ago, not a long time ago, a school in Coldstream was established to deal with autism-specific kids.
Oh, yeah.
And quite well on the spectrum, not the higher functioners, that those that have got a lot more challenges.
Yep.
And they've created a wonderful nurturing environment down there. And I went down there the first time the other day, and they've extended as they've gone on. They've been able to get bigger premises, and they're right next to the Coldstream Primary School.
Oh, yeah.
On land that's council land. And it's been funded pretty well philanthropically. But I'd spoken recently about the author Sandra Tom Jones, who lives in Healesville, who wrote a book about her autism diagnosis as an adult.
And
she was
that.
A university
yep.
professor.
Yep.
And I was very keen for Sandra to get down to have a look at the facility that they've got in Coldstream. And Julie Kluger, the principal, has worked at a number of the schools in the area, and I wanted to connect them, and it was great to go down there because Sandra said she has all of these ideas about things that you can do for this, for people with this diagnosis once they leave school. And that seems to be a real gap at the minute, and Lyrebird College are like looking at, well, when people are 18,
yep.
where can they go? Now, the school at the minute's catering from, you know, prep right through.
Yep.
They get a lot of calls about whether they've got vacancies and things like that, and whether they can fit kids in. But you know, it is all where to, and it's a gap, probably, you know, Australia wide. When kids who are on the spectrum, once they turn 18, finish school, they don't stop being autistic.
No, well, it's a lifetime, isn't it?
It's a lifetime,
yep,
and everyone's autism is different, and they all have different quirks or different capabilities that they can and can't do as well. And so, yeah, there's a discussion now about what can we do from that 18 to 20-year-old cohort and beyond, and perhaps better serving those on the autism spectrum.
Oh, that's good. Mm. Yeah, because once upon a time they were just, they weren't, I don't know what you say, but they just weren't sort of part of normal society, were they?
Yes, look, and when, you know, there's only so many days of the week you can go bowling, and yep. they don't need babysitting, a lot of people. No. You know, it's like, don't just keep filling my day with recreational activities. You know, there's some stuff I can actually do. And it's trying to make that happen that I think would be really good.
Terrific. Now, Cindy, we're fast coming to an end, and by the fourth Wednesday of December, you won't be here and I probably won't be.
So I'll probably be at the cricket or something.
I guess we now would like to wish you all the best for Christmas. Tell me, what's Christmas Day like in Cindy McLeish's house?
Oh, Christmas Day, big lunch with my partner's family and a big and late dinner with my family, my cousins. We have a... Every year we have, you know, get together with the cousins and Christmas night, and it goes on quite late.
And eat too much? We all do that. So, Cindy, are you getting any time off over Christmas yourself?
Hopefully have a week or so in January. We usually close the office between Christmas and New Year. Everyone takes a bit of a break.
Yep.
The staff with kids like to take a break then. Those without kids prefer
still
to work.
Break.
Well, we take a little bit of a break so that, you know, the office does shut. But, of course, if things happen like fires or floods, you pretty quickly swing back. And so you might have a week at the beach, not anywhere too far away, so that if I need to be around, I can be around.
You can come back.
Yep.
Cindy, we wish you all the best. Please thank the ladies in your office, because I deal with Denise and those quite a bit.
Fabulous.
Wish them all the best for Christmas.
I will. Thank you, Alan.
And I hope you all have a terrific time. I guess the main thing is that you all have a rest.
I'll have a rest and stay safe.
Absolutely. And we should mention, stay safe on the roads, because
definitely.
The numbers are miles too high.
Oh, way too high.